My name is Michael. I'm a drug addict. Anonymity is one of the most important issues in the structure of Cocaine Anonymous. We know from experience that many people with drug problems might hesitate to turn to CA for help if they thought their problem might be discussed publicly, even inadvertently, by others. Newcomers should be able to seek help with complete assurance that their identities will not be disclosed to anyone outside the fellowship. Traditionally, CA members have always taken care to preserve their anonymity at the public level. Therefore, in observance of the 11th tradition of Cocaine Anonymous, which states, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, and films. We earnestly request that those gathered here honor this tradition of anonymity. We request that no record be made of this convention either by photography, moving or still, or by videotape. If you should happen to recognize someone here who identifies him or herself as an addict, please keep that knowledge strictly to yourself. Thank you. Our first speaker tonight is going to be Pete Sweet Pete.
What's so sweet?
Well, I'll let him explain that.
Pete, addict, alcoholic. And I guess the three of us are talking on step 11, saw through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. I was asked at the last minute to do this, so yes. This is a step that I do not do every day, that I don't do as thorough as I should, and it's probably one of the reasons why I understand why when things go on in my life that God is not the first thing that pops into my head, that me trying to solve it, me trying to fix it pops into my head first most of the time. There are times where God does enter, but that's when I know when I'm really making progress, when the first thing that pops into my head is God. And I've been around here for a while. I'm building a relationship with God, but it tells me that my relationship with God has to be a whole lot tighter than it is right now. Because if I'm working this step on a daily basis, I believe, for me, that God should be the first thing that enters my mind. Now, when they talk about this step in here, and I'll just go, because they first talk about going to bed, I'm going to talk about upon awakening, and this, for me, is sometimes a rushed effort. It's not a totally sincere effort. It's because I got a lot of stuff to do. Good morning, God. Give me the strength to deal with what I need to deal with, and we'll talk to you later. See you. Bye. And we're out the door. And lately I've been feeling kind of guilty about that, because the only reason I'm here today is because of God. I did my best for 30 years to kill myself, and I'm here because of God. I feel like I slight God when I do that. But if I do that and I take the time and am sincere about that, my day goes a lot better. There's more flow to it. There's a better understanding of people. I get along better with people. I don't let things upset me as much. So it's very, very beneficial that I do this. And then in here it talks about, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. And that happens once in a while. And the testing ground for me for this is usually at work, because it just is. I find myself stepping back and go, God, okay, this person said this to me or did this to me. Step back and just love and tolerance of others is our code. Okay, and try to carry on, you know. Does it always work? No. I mean, so to me, this is a God thing today for me to be asked to do this, to remind me once again that just having faith is not enough, that I have to build, and that's what I'm doing here, is building that close, intimate relationship with God, because that's what it's all about, and that's the most important relationship in my life today is with God. And then it says, when I go to bed at night, and I don't do this a lot either, that I go through my day where I've been resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid. And, you know, if I go through my day, I realize that, contrary to my beliefs, I am not perfect. There is something in my day that I can reflect on and look that I did something that I need to improve on. So for me, it's a step that allows me to have God take control of my life, God in the forefront, not me. The meditation part, as most of you know, I don't sit still a lot. I'm, you know, up and about and everything. One of the docs I work with, one of the surgeons I work with, she was making fun of me the other day. She goes, Pete, you need this? And I'm like, that's the thing. Hey. So I have a hard time sitting still, concentrating and clearing my head. Where I can meditate is when I'm outside. If I'm out with bird hunting with the dog or something, the outdoors for me does that, where I can just sit down against a tree and just close my eyes, listen to what's going on out there, or at night lay out there and look at the stars when I'm up north, and that's when I can do that meditation. But I need to do that more when I'm home too, not just in the outdoors. And we've had great workshops at the retreats on that, and then I'll do it for about a week, and then it's like, okay, whatever, and then move on. So it's for me to keep that conscious contact with God, and that's all I got. Thanks.
Next, we'll have Sue W. come up and share a little bit on the 11th step.
Hi, my name is Sue, and I'm an addict. Step 11, for me, is a journey. You know, since I was a little kid, I've always wondered about God. And I've always known something was there bigger than me. I was raised Catholic as a little kid and told a lot of lies about God. At least I thought they were, because how could that be? Some of the things that some religions teach aren't necessarily the truth. But what I discovered as I got older, I started looking into other religions. And what I discovered was that there's this kernel of truth in all of them. There's not a single one that doesn't teach love, truth, altruism, doing for others what you do for yourself. The other day I saw a poster and they had taken quotes from the Bhagavad Gita and from the Quran and from the Kabbalah and from the Christian Bible. And they all said the same thing. Do unto others as you do for yourself. Love others as you would love yourself, as God loves you. I think love is the thread that weaves us all together, or at least the thread that we can perceive, that we can experience. Prayer and meditation. Thoughts are things. Prayers are thoughts. When people pray, they're trying to connect with a higher power. When I pray, I go inward, because this little spark of Godness that's in me is connected to the universe and to each and every living thing. and probably every unliving thing in the universe. And it all comes down to the same thing, love, truth. That's what I think. I also think or believe that my life is just this tiny little speck of sand on an endless beach, or a tiny drop of water in an endless ocean. But together, it's everything. And that's God for me. I can only speak for me. I think it's important that we each find our own connection. We're so special to be here. You know, the Jewish people say that we're God's chosen people. Well, we're God's chosen people. What miracles that each of us is sitting here. How many of us should be dead or in jail? Because of the lifestyles we've lived, because of the experiences we went through, because of the choices we made. But with the help of this oneness, call it what you will, here we are. Most of us in this room are happy people. I heard somebody say last night, we're not a glum lot. We sure aren't. We all know how to party. We know how to have fun. We know how to laugh and enjoy life. I see God every day, everywhere I look. In natural beauty, Pete talked about the woods, camping, lakes, the stars at night when you're out of the city. Oh, you can't look at that and not know that there's something there. So, prayer and meditation. When I pray, I consciously ask for understanding. I don't try to tell God what to do, but I try to understand what's bothering me or what's happening around me. I pray for understanding. When my husband was sick, and a lot of people knew he was dying, his name was put on the temple wall in Salt Lake City at the Mormon Tabernacle Choirs, or you know, the Mormon Temple in Salt Lake City. A Jewish friend of ours gave his name to his congregation, and they put his name on the wall with people that they were praying for. At church, people prayed for us, at our church. And people came up to me and said, we're praying for you, we're praying for you. It didn't change the outcome. But oh my God, I could feel the love and the power. There were times when we were still together, and I could just feel the energy of all the people that loved us. Yeah. It's about love. This higher power of mine loves me beyond anything I can imagine. And I can't imagine. I have a new grandchild. Some of you saw him last night. He's 2 months old, and he's just learned to smile. He's so close to that God thing. He's just come to join us in this existence right now. Every other grandchild and child that I have in my life, there's an unconditional love there that I have for these kids and people that I can't even begin to describe. And it's like limitless. So if I can love these people here in this existence, how must this higher power love me? It's amazing. It's amazing. I tell each of my kids, you're my favorite. And I mean it. They are, each and every one, in each and every one's own way. They are my favorites. I'm God's favorite, and so are you, and so are you, and so are we. And together, oh my God, the beauty of this thing we have called recovery, what wonderful lives we can make. I'm just so happy to be here and so happy you're all here for me. And I want to tell you I love you. That's it.
Our final speaker this morning will be Michael Kay.
Morning, everybody. My name is Mike. I'm a drug addict and an alcoholic. All right, and you guys are a tough act to follow. Oh. So I know I'm the last of three speakers and on the last part of the convention. So you guys are like, when's he gonna shut up and go home? Well, I haven't even started yet. Step 11, right? Says. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Now Mike asked me to wrap this up, okay, so I'm gonna do that. Step 11 is the 11th of 12 steps, right? Got that. In step one, we have the statement of the problem, right? I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict. Once I start, I can't stop, and I can't stop starting. That's a death sentence. Step two is God is the cure for alcoholism. A life lived in God's direction sets me free from the endless cycle of continuing to use and craving. It breaks that and gets me entirely free. Step three is making the decision to carry out the solution and not live in the problem. So it's deciding to take the life sentence instead of the death sentence. Step four, we made our inventory. Step five, we shared it. Step six, we asked God to just take our grosser handicaps. And step seven, we said the ones I still have, maybe I don't need to act out on today. I can be a liar, but I don't have to lie. Help me, God. And we humbly ask his help. In steps eight and nine, we made a list of all the people we had wronged, and we made amends, not for ourselves, but for to be on a better footing with God, so that we can meet anyone, anywhere, and be on solid footing with God, who is the solution to our problem. In step 10, we watched for where are we selfish, dishonest, resentful or afraid, and we correct that behavior as soon as we could. And then in step 11, we sought to increase that contact with whomever God is for you or me, right? Whoever is the solution to our problem, we have to reach out and learn more about him or her or it, whatever. And it tells us how to do that. It says we reflect on our own behavior, we analyze what we're doing, and we read books, we talk to people, we research. I'm going to take a step back again. Many people come into this program to get. They have a problem, and they want to get the answer to it. So they go to meetings, and they search, how can you guys help me? They read books. How can you guys help me? It's me-oriented. The funny thing is, none of that will help until you turn that around and you start to give what you have. And it is the act of giving that is actually part of the solution to the problem. While you're in the get mode, it doesn't really work. You're holding your breath. You're white-knuckling. Okay, but as soon as it turns around and you start to give, which can happen right away, then magically things get better. Step 11 is where we get to stay in get mode, right? This is the place in the program where we seek out and we try to learn more about this new God footing that is keeping us sober, about this magical thing that somehow did what nothing else could do. And in step 12, then, it says, we carried this message to other alcoholics and drug addicts, right? What is the message? The message is that God is the cure for alcoholism. That's the message. Now, you can't go up to somebody in a bar and say, hey, God's the cure for alcoholism, right? You know what's going to happen. Bam, right in the nose. So we've got to be able to craft that and understand and know how to, when one alcoholic goes to another alcoholic and it immediately becomes obvious that that person has shared that same pain and then says, you know, you and I are a cut of the same cloth, yet I'm no longer drinking. I'm no longer craving. I'm no longer acting out, right? Ask yourself why, and then shares that God is the answer. That message gets home, and it's the act of sharing that saves the first person, right? As long as I am carrying the message, I am on sound footing. When I turn back inward, I'm lost. And I've had more than a few 24 hours, and I've had periods in that sobriety that I have not been as active as others. And those are the times that I've struggled. When I'm coming around, when I'm sharing, when I'm helping, that life is easy. When I turn inward and I'm concerned about the day-to-day, life is hard. And it doesn't need to be hard today. As long as I have all of you people and I'm working the steps in the program that has been so wonderfully given to me, then life is wonderful. I have more today than I ever dreamed I could possibly have. And when I think of where I came from in that moment, in my moment of clarity, and to where I am now, it's unbelievable. So my message is reach out, learn about God, who is the solution to your problem. And that's all I have.
Thank you to all the speakers. We have a wonderful way of closing. If we could all circle up and say the serenity prayer. I'm getting looks from Diane. I don't know.